Talk about learning curve, huh? Thank you so much for being flexible with us and being here. Keshi, koton suna kenapka, hot rene bigay lechina, hot ano de golota kodean kakeli kwaan chatle. I said, hello, how is your evening? My name is Rene Bigay, and I belong to the Sandhill Crane Clan, and I am a child of the Eagle Clan, so true bird. The reason why we share our clans when we introduce ourselves is that it gives insight to how my people function. We are a collective tribe. We relate to one another through clans, and it's a matrilineal society, so the lineage gets passed down through the mother. So my girls carry my clan, I carry my mother's and my grandmother's, and my great-grandmother's clan. I want to thank the design team again for this whole experience. I know it has really stretched all of us, and it was a big learning experience for Donnie and I to do this. This is something that's normal within the powwow culture and among Native tribes, but to be asked to lead it was a big stretch for us. And so I want to acknowledge that even me, in my Native identity, I'm still learning too. Thank you to the elders for teaching us and for raising us to carry a strong, resilient identity, so that we may be able to teach our next generation to do the same. I want to point out that we've been using the word elder a lot, and it's meant to be used as a title of respect. In our culture, the word doesn't refer to physical maturity. Rather, it acknowledges that our elders are long-standing and they are deeply rooted in the vital indigenous ways that the next generation greatly needs to be taught and reminded of. In the same way, I want to remind my peers that we are in the presence of long-standing and deeply rooted staff and partners who have paved the way for us to be here. So thank you to you guys for showing us what it means to faithfully follow Christ. So the honoring ceremony that you just witnessed is an expression of respect. Dr. Sukina described honor by saying, to honor someone is to give them weight or importance into our lives. When we dishonor people, we treat them lightly and with little value. The elders here are duly honored for their service to the Creator as caretakers of the land. The act of honoring someone is sacrificial, as witnessed by us and the design team. Giving gifts is sacrificial. Giving gifts demonstrates that I am thankful and that I should continue to live with a grateful heart. In giving of physical gifts, it also reminds us that we have to hold loosely to material things. We remind ourselves that we must give away of our cleanliness to prestige and power. We are reminded to let go and let God fill our hearts with His Holy Spirit, where we tend to place things instead of Him. This is the way that we have been shown respect to one another and to God. So in 2016, Donnie and I witnessed what was called a canoe ceremony, and the specific name of it was called the Coming Ashore Ceremony. This was in Juneau, Alaska, and the festival was called Celebration. Celebration, again, is a festival that celebrates the three cultures in that area, which is the Tsimshian, Haida, and Tlingit cultures. And a week leading up to celebration, canoers surrounding the village areas got into their canoes and they set their journey toward Alaska, to Juneau, Alaska. And so it took a week. A lot of these villages are about 100 miles away. And so they get into their traditional canoes and they have their traditional paddles and they row all the way to Juneau, Alaska. Sunburned and exhausted, these canoes arrive one by one into the Juneau Harbor. And you would think that being exhausted and sunburned, that you would want to quickly put your feet onto the shore and say, we're done. However, each canoe we observed waited for the other villagers to come. And so one canoe would show up, and then another canoe would show up, then another village would show up. And pretty soon, all of the village canoes were lined up next to each other. And they tied themselves together to each other. Meanwhile, on the shore, there's women and children and men singing with their drum, welcoming them. They're so excited to welcome them. They're crying out and calling and singing. And instead of going forward again, everybody in the canoe, their face set toward the hill. And on the top of the hill were some elders sitting there with their regalia. And the representative canoeer called out with his megaphone, asking for permission to set foot onto the shore. And it was a communication back and forth where the elders saying back, and then the canoeer saying back to the elders. And it kept going back and forth, back and forth. And then eventually the elders called out and they gave permission for the canoers to set their foot onto the land. This surprised me because here are a set of villages where they are from the same tribes, yet they're still asking permission from each other to set foot on shore. They weren't in a hurry to go ahead and do what they needed to do. But yet, the way of life that they lived, they respected one another to do that. And so the canoers go together to the shore, and then they're greeted very excitedly by the women and children. Everyone hasn't seen their family for a week, so everybody's giving them hugs. Isn't that a beautiful image of respect? Protocol, that word has been a word that God has been giving me over and over this past year. And I kept wondering what he meant by that, protocol. And it's been in the moments when I would wrestle in my mind about how interaction should be. And this was after like cross-cultural interaction, relational interaction, when I was working in teams. I always wondered how relationships should be carried out. Margaret Yu, she gives a great explanation of pursuing shalom using in relationships. Shalom means how things ought to be. Protocol, in my mind, or in my heart, what I've been learning, is a way of saying to whoever you're working with, whoever you are trying to reach the gospel with, whoever you are partnering with to have the gospel known to all tribes, tongues, and nations, protocol, for me, means that you're saying, this is your land, this is your space, Creator has been here a long time before I came. You bear his image, and we see him working in you. We would like to join you. We are humbling ourselves and offering a gift. May we join in your space and your land. Can you show us and tell us how Creator has shown himself to you? How would our relationships change if we came and approached others in this way? We focus on what Jesus did to bring salvation, and it's good, but I think it's just as important to look at the way he did it, the way he did it. You know, you could imagine the Trinity talking, how to solve this problem of sin, how to bring redemption into our lives again, how to rebuild all things. You can imagine the Trinity talking, and as they're talking, they're trying to go through options of what to do. There was other attempts before, and then they're reminded, oh yeah, the rainbow, you know? We can't just start over again. And you would think, you would imagine the Father saying, we need to go all in. In order to show ourselves to our creation, we need to do whatever it takes. And so the way the Trinity has revealed himself to us is he approached us and communicated to us as human beings. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, it says that he put aside all privileges of deity and he took on the status of human. He became a human baby under threat, in poverty, into the Hebrew culture. And when he became human, it says that he stayed human. He didn't say, okay, I did it, I'm gonna walk away, but that he stayed human. He performed the cultural customs of circumcision and purification in the Hebrew culture. He learned the language. He wore the traditional clothes. He ate the traditional food. He lived in the daily habits of his culture. And he was obedient to his parents. He was under their authority, and he was under the authority of the teachers of the law until it was time for him to take over at age 30. And so in other words, if Jesus were born a Zuni man, he was a really good Indian boy. So sharing the gospel does not just mean that it's a verbal witness of Jesus to others. I believe that it is a way of life, as I have been taught by my mother and my grandmother and my aunties, that every little thing that I do throughout the day is a reflection of my faith. The gospel is in the way that I rise up in the morning, and I thank God for setting the sun and the moon to govern my days. It is in the way that I give thanks. It's in the way that I greet my girls, my mom, my husband. It is the way that I talk to them, and in the way that I treat the rest of creation. It is in the way that I relate to other people like you. It is in the way that I speak to you. And it is in the way that I pray with others. It is in the way that we open ourselves to God when we are alone with Him. It is in the way in which I interact with a stranger, directly and indirectly. In the book called The Subtle Power of Spiritual Abuse, it says that spiritual leaders are people who prove over the long run that they know how to lead souls to peace. For many years, I've cited Richard Twist, where he says that Native North Americans should not be seen as the mission field, but rather should be viewed as a valued partner in the mission. And I have also added that this statement is the same for all ethnic groups, all cultures, subcultures. That those voices who are missing at the table, we have to think that all those people should not be seen as a mission field, but would rather be seen as a valued partner in the mission. So those missing at the table should not be seen, again, as the mission field, and I just wanted to let you know that the experience that I've had as a Zuni woman in my native identity, I've experienced the world telling me that my language is gone, but God has enabled me to relight and reflame the embers that are still there. And the world tells me that my indigenous identity is faded and devastated. But God reveals to me that my identity bears His image, and that He will provide the seeds of rebirth, and He will rebuild my heart so that I may glorify Him in a Zuni way. So these truths didn't awaken in me overnight. It took years, and it took people like you guys who took me in, who prayed for me, who listened to me, who encouraged me, who really put in the relational work to see me for who I am and to see me for who God made me to be. So I want to thank you for that. So my question to you is, what would happen if we chose to become people of respect and honor? How would your daily interactions with ministry partners change? What would transform? How would our communication approaches change? Where would we step aside to empower others? So when I was in the stands as a new staff observing the conference, I found it hard to enjoy the time because in the back of my mind, I would always think about what could be. I had this growing desire to be represented on stage here. And it wasn't in a self-seeking way. It was just more out of just desire that the Native voice needed to be represented. And I would be wishing, I wish my family could see this, because to see thousands of people worshiping the Lord. And then God answered that prayer, and my mom and my girls have been here with us for the past two conferences. I would dream it would be so cool if, we would worship God with the drum and with dance, and here we are today. So if I have these thoughts in my heart and in my mind, then that means that there are many of you who are thinking the same thing. There are many of you who are saying to yourself that certain people here are not represented. And so before I close, I would like to ask those of you who feel the same way that I felt sitting in the stands, that there needs to be, there's somebody missing at the table. So bravely, I would ask you if you could stand. And for those people who are around the people that are standing, would you pray? And for those of you that are standing, please let the others know what is missing, what you're dreaming about. As you just see this stage, and as you think of heaven and who's missing at the table, communicate to others around you what you're dreaming about, and just pray with me. And as you guys pray, I will close this time. Dear Lord, thank you for the way that you approached us. It was such a good way. You found us and you've set us free. You set us free to please you, and you gave us a new way to live. And that means that we live by new rules, new statutes, a new way of understanding, a new mind that is continually renewed, a new way to act, a new way to relate to one another. Lord, I pray that you would give us just the things that we need to demonstrate the love that you showed us, Lord. And it is in all this is in your name that we pray. Amen. So, thank you. What I completely forgot was that in the Native culture, when we honor people and give gifts, there's a reciprocation. There's also a giving away of gifts. And so for the people that have the baskets, it is time to bring them out. And this is just in recognition of you guys, where this is a Pueblo-style throw, the Zuni Pueblo throw, where when you receive a gift, you also give away a gift too. So people with the baskets, you can gently just kind of underhand it, not throw in the face or anything, but just give away these gifts. And people, watch out. There's things flying. But Elakwa, thank you. Don't tell me not to go to the